Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. As I cannot get my microphone to stay turned around the way it's supposed to here, Carl. I don't know what's going on, but a little technical difficulty over here. I guess so. Somebody's got it all twisted up. I don't understand that.
Hey, at least it's working and it's not falling down.
Well, so far, that's true. This microphone, Kim St. Ange, has fallen off in my hands before over here, which is kind of awkward.
I remember the first day I started here, like a minute before I went on the air, it fell. And Carl was scrambling over here trying to help me.
Well, don't tell anyone, but I put some super glue on it once. And it stayed that way for a long time. And I'm assuming an engineer must have found that and defeated me somehow.
Now you have the answer to
your question,
yes,
sir. Indeed. I do know what it's been. That's been a while, Carl. But I've been at this for a while.
Yeah, so. We had three engineers since then.
Oh boy! Welcome into the lovely world of radio. But yeah, he's not lying. So stuff happens. But we're glad you're with us this morning. We got so much stuff going on. The president's trial starting yesterday up in New York City. Every single, with the exception of a couple of college professors with an axe to grind, and I'm sure Kim St. Ange will know who I'm talking about. Everybody who's looked at this case against Trump says it is a legal laughingstock is the best way to look at it. And yet ABC, CBS, MSNBC, CNN are serious as a heart attack, and they can't wait for some jury somewhere to find Donald Trump guilty of something. It's just got to happen. Because that's what it was all about from the beginning. I sometimes can't believe how desperate you are. As a reporter, I remember being frustrated sometimes. You're out there, you're looking for somebody to take the opposite side of a story, and so you can go over and interview them, and you can't get this person to do it, you can't get that person to do it. So you end up finding some academic, and you have no idea if they have a political axe to grind or not, but they're perfectly willing to comment on it.
Yep.
Perfect example of it was on the Gordon Deal show this morning. They ran out and found some professor emeritus from St. James University, which means he's a retired professor of political science, mm-hmm. who clearly was a Trump hater.
Oh, yeah. I almost texted you because I was laughing in the car as I was driving it and listening.
I know. Guys, clearly a Trump hater. Oh, I'm so disappointed that we live in a time when we have a president that could even be charged, that this defies what the founders wanted. I mean, it was so melodramatic.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody who's looked at Alvin Bragg understands that all of his predecessors and the federal government prosecutors refused to charge in this case because there's no case there. And he took what would be a federal crime if it happened and charged it at the state level, which has never been done before. And you've got people bending over backwards and tying themselves in pretzels to try to somehow justify it. It's a joke. And it makes America look like a banana republic. So that's where we are. Yes. If you watch that coverage, if you've listened at all, and you'll hear some of those comments repeated this morning by the legal experts who've looked at this, not just Hans, not just Jonathan Turley. Everybody who's looked at it said, this is a head scratcher. I'm not sure who would bring a case like this. And yet now we find out that Donald Trump might be forced to miss his son's high school graduation because this judge demands that he be seated at the table at all times when court is in session.
Is that even standard practice where you have to be in court for something like this? I understand I've covered a lot of trials over the years as a reporter, and you obviously typically see them in court. But is there any sort of an option in a case like this where it's 6 weeks where he would have that ability?
The defendant's always there.
That's what I'm questioning, because I've covered a lot of trials whenever I was a reporter.
Have you not seen a defendant there?
Yeah.
They're always
absolutely
there.
There have been exceptions, and this guy could make an exception.
That's what I'm wondering, if there's any sort of exception he could make.
And I got to tell you, there are a lot of sick, twisted people out there that just hate Donald Trump because he's Donald Trump. But I will guarantee you, Democrat or Republican, across America, if on the Friday of Donald Trump's son graduating from high school, he skips court and goes to the graduation, every parent in America will look at that and say, you go, because I would have done the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Screw this judge. Maybe it will drive home the point even more of how ridiculous and vindictive this case is. I hope he does. I hope the judge tries to keep him from doing it, and I hope he does it anyway, and I hope they try to find him in contempt, and more people are going to see this for what it is. I can't imagine that there are people out there who still don't see it for what it is, but clearly, if you watch CNN and the other major networks, there are plenty of them who want to try to twist the law to justify what's going on up here. It's an embarrassing moment for America, no doubt about it. Hey, good show for you today. A little later, we're going to dig into this education bill in Missouri, and it continues to tear apart the Republican Party, which has a supermajority in Jeff City. Because the original bill, a lot of people supported it, and then it had 100 pages added to it with all of these different regulations. What does it do? What does it not do? A lot of people think it bans guns in homes if you're homeschool, and several people in the firearms industry and other stepped forward and said they don't think that's the case. That's still not good enough for a lot of people. On the other side of it, there are some good things that it does. In terms of allowing people freedom to move their kids to schools that perform better. And we're going to talk to one of those superintendents this morning of one of those school districts who thinks this is a great idea for freedom. So we'll talk to him at about 8:08 this morning. Stay tuned for that. And what do you do to combat what's going on with the indoctrination of our children in schools? We talk about it all the time. We elect school board members who try to go in and fight this garbage, and they're called radical extremists when you do that. When you want to fight the indoctrination of your children into Marxist ideology, you're the radical. We're going to talk to Catherine Gorka a little later in the show, wife of Seb Gorka, a national talk show host, if you've listened to him, former member of the Trump administration. She has got a new book out on what it is and how to combat it. And we're going to talk to her in the 8 o'clock hour today, so stay tuned for that. Right now, Carl, let's get to the shortlist, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
This is surreal. It's unlike anything we've ever seen before in American political history. A former president standing trial for criminal charges.
Oh, man, that's Robert Costa of CBS News salivating to report. It's surreal. It's like nothing we've ever seen, and we love it.
This is an assault on America. Nothing like this has ever happened before. Every legal scholar says this case is nonsense.
Yeah, he described it very well. And every day when he walks out of court, he's going to have that exact same opportunity. They are handing Donald Trump a victory here.
The St. Louis Board of Aldermen voting yes to add the controversial safety measures. However, a past ruling saying they're unconstitutional in Missouri leaves many questions.
You think maybe, Corey, that leaves a few questions? What is it with progressive left liberals who are told no by their respective Supreme Courts and they go ahead and do it anyway?
With the first pick in the 2024 WNBA draft, the Indiana Fever select Caitlin Clark, University of Iowa.
Ah, yeah, got a fever. How about that? You know, she was on Saturday Night Live the other night. I thought she did a pretty good job at that. I watched the clip. I didn't watch the show, but I watched the clip. And good for her.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, yeah. All the media coverage last night was about the second and fourth picks because they both went to the same team, the young lady from LSU and the one from South Carolina.
What about Paige? I didn't see if she was drafted.
She went to a team in California, so she's going to stay in California, they said. Hmm. But I don't know which one.
It's funny.
Because I know nothing about the WNBA.
I don't either. And
zero.
All that I saw on my news feed, aside from the fact that Caitlin's going to Indiana, which was to be expected, was that she wore Prada. Everyone was posting about how this was the first time Prada has ever dressed anyone for the NBA, I hope for the NBA, or the WNBA. I mean, seriously, every single post I saw was like, Caitlin wearing Prada.
I wouldn't know Prada if it smacked me in the face, but I'm glad somebody pointed that out.
I knew you were wondering what the brand was of her clothing this morning, and I just wanted to make sure that I let everyone know about that.
She looked nice. She seems like a very humble person. She always wears oversized jackets. She's skinny as a rail,
mm-hmm.
but I always notice, like, wherever she goes, maybe it's just the athlete in her always wearing a sports jacket or something of some sort. She always wears oversized jackets.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure why. That's what struck me when I saw her last night. Not that the jacket was from a specific designer. I'm like, why does she wear clothes that completely cover her up?
Yeah.
Like from shoulders
to waist.
She's
definitely tiny.
Yeah. No doubt about it. Well, congratulations, sir. By the way, we'll talk more about this red light camera nonsense when we come back in just a minute. Because clearly, banning Lime scooters and having cameras that can catch people after the fact who've run lights, who don't have, generally speaking, license plates or registered cars to begin with, will fix the problem. This seems to be the logic of the Board of Aldermen. Unbelievable. We'll get to all that and more when we come back in just a minute. First, our national anthem.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
St. Louis Board of Aldermen voting yes to add the controversial safety measures. However, a past ruling saying they're unconstitutional in Missouri leaves many questions.
Probably will get sued along and over it again. However, we're confident that the bill that we have put together addresses the constitutional issues.
Board of Aldermen President Megan Green knows Monday's 12-2 vote in favor of red light cameras may bring on a lawsuit. However, she says Bill 105, also known as the Automated Camera Enforcement Act, is needed following a study showing more than 600 people were hurt by drivers in 2023 while biking or walking in St. Louis City and county.
Before they are actually implemented in our city, the use plan will have to come back through the Board of Aldermen, which will give residents an opportunity to come weigh in.
The cameras won't go up until the city agrees on a vendor, which they have yet to do.
Can I tell you the biggest scam possibly in the history of mankind is red light cameras? I've covered this story for 20 years as a reporter. The people that put this together were retired police officers. There's a bunch of people in the St. Louis area that were in on it who went and convinced these municipalities, hey, listen, we can triple your fine revenue with red light cameras, and you don't have to hire any more cops. And all of the cities were all over it, right? This is fantastic. We don't have to have a police officer at every intersection. We'll just get these cameras and blah, 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 until somebody challenged them in court. And the court said the top of their head blew off, and they're like, you can't do that, because if you got a picture of the license plate, you have no idea who's driving the car.
You can't ticket the car. You ticket the person.
Thank
the driver.
You. Somebody stole the car and ran the red light. You can't ticket the guy whose car was stolen. So the court threw it out. And they've still not come up with an effective legal way to prove who's driving the car. But does that stop the City of St. Louis Board of Aldermen from seeing an opportunity to collect a lot more revenue from motorists? It's not going to stop a single person who currently blows through red lights from blowing through red lights. You know what it's going to stop? It's going to stop somebody that pulls up to an intersection and doesn't completely come to a stop before they turn right on red. And then that guy is going to get a $45 ticket while the other people with no license plate continue to blow through. And these pictures will do no good.
Yeah. And I would argue if I had a ticket, I'd be like, well, if you made the city streets safer, I wouldn't feel the need at 4 a.m. when I'm on my way to work to run the red lights, because I'm not going to be a sitting duck at a light when no one else is there and I heads on a swivel worried that someone's going to potentially carjack me.
Yeah.
So I ran it for my safety. I mean, seriously, that is what I would tell them. You make the area safer, I won't feel the need to run the red light.
But, Kim, this will make the area safer. I got an idea. Take whatever money you would spend on this, add it to the police budget, and hire some more bodies.
Thank you.
Who can chase down these idiots who blow through red lights at 50 miles an hour. And some of them should probably have been in jail to begin with, and then they wouldn't be running through red lights at 50 miles an hour. This drives me crazy. Kim on a whim, coming up.
Kim on a whim.
I know we all try to do the right thing. We try to make a difference. We try to leave the world a better place than we found it, right? That's the saying that we're told.
Sure.
And part of that is recycling. You know, everyone, you see those little things, recycle, recycle. And that is really trendy right now. Making sure that you're eco-friendly. I see all sorts of people who are really into making sure that their food is sustainable and the clothing they wear, and it's like that is their number one priority when it comes to decisions. Mark Cox, your hand is raised.
I have a question, Kim.
Yes.
What's your one thing?
I know what you're talking about. My one thing is not recycling. It's not, we do recycle, but there is this story on CBS Sunday Morning, which, by the way, is very telling that CBS had this on its air.
Yes.
About recycling. And I have heard that it is not what we have been sold. Look, this whole thing about, oh, yeah, you're really helping the planet when you recycle and it's so incredibly important. It's really not as important as you think it is. Listen to part of the story.
You're being lied to. The vast majority of plastics are not recycled. They're just not.
About 48 million tons of plastic waste is generated in the U.S. each year. Only 5 to 6% of it is actually recycled. The rest ends up in landfills or is burned.
There you go. Only 6% of what people recycle is actually recycled. That woman you heard from in the very beginning, Jan Dell, she's a former chemical engineer. And she's speaking truth about what's going on with these plastics. She's saying, you know, the little arrows you see on the bottles, the water bottles you have or whatever.
A little rectangle.
Yes, the triangle. Triangle? Rectangle? What are you talking
triangle.
About?
You're
okay.
Right, it's triangle.
All right. Got to make sure we get that clear here on our shapes. So she says that those little arrows that look like they're chasing each other, they started showing up on plastic products back in 1988. Says it was part of a push to convince the public that plastic waste wasn't a problem and that it can be recycled. But she's like, really what this comes down to is that they just needed people to believe that it was working, to feel good about them tossing that water bottle or whatever other plastic product that they're using into the recycling bin, feeling like, I'm a good person. I'm doing my part here. Well, just so you know, it's not that you're a bad person, but just so you know, it's not doing as much good as you think. Likely, more than likely, it's ending up in the landfill.
So, Kim, this is a much bigger problem than that. Single stream recycling is dead. just so you know. So I covered this story years ago when it was trendy to, we found somebody over in Kirkwood, of course it was Kirkwood, who had this perfect little system worked out, and the paper, the used Post-Dispatch would go here, and the plastic bottles would go here, and then they had a place in their garden where they would compost all of their food that they scraped off their plates, and they'd use it in the garden, and it was just a perfect little scenario. Well, the average family that works 60 or 70 hours a week, taking care of kids, doing all this other garbage, they don't have time for that, right? So they came up with the brilliant idea, what if we did single stream recycling, where if you want to recycle something, you put it all in the same container and we'll sort it out later, which was beautiful. Went out and covered that story. There was a facility in Earth City where they would bring in the trash trucks from the recyclable, they dump it out onto the floor, and they paid people to stand there as it was going down a conveyor belt and pick out the plastic bottles and throw the paper over here. They were doing all that for you. You know why? Because there was a time in this country when the Chinese would buy our recyclables so the trash companies could actually make money off of that stream. They're charging you to take it, and they're getting money on the back end because China's buying all the recyclables. About 8 or 9 years ago, China stopped buying all of that crap.
Why? Do you know?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to it. All I know is all of these communities loved having single stream recycling. So they would demand it as part of their contract with these waste companies. Well, fewer and fewer of the waste companies are now offering it because it doesn't work. And most of that stuff ends up in the landfill. Mm-hmm. Makes you feel good in your garage, but there's nobody sorting it anymore. There's no money in it.
Yep.
There's no money in it.
I mean, there's a report out called The Fraud of Plastic Recycling.
Yes.
The fraud. Just talking about how really this is just a PR thing that they're trying to do to make you feel better about it. In fact, it's people are coming around and realizing that it is a fraud, so much so that the Plastics Industry Association came out about a month or so ago, at least that's when this was posted on YouTube, a video trying to convince all of us that recycling is indeed real.
Yeah.
I would tell anybody that says recycling isn't real to just come down here at Envisions and spend the day and see how real it is.
I wouldn't have a job without recycling, and it's real.
Recycling is real, yes.
Recycling is real, Mark. How dare you? It is real. You know what infuriates me is that, and I'm pretty sure my parents might be in this camp, that they live in St. Charles County. It's unincorporated. So I think that they might have to pay extra to have someone come to their house to pick up their recycling, right? Because
yeah.
Not everyone has that included. Like, we have the normal waste, you know, the bin, and then, of course, we have our recycling. We put both out on Friday morning, picked up. But they have to make a separate trip or pay somebody extra. So it's like you're being sold this lie and being charged extra for it. And it's not even doing what you think it's doing.
Well, I think people will make that hard decision. In Wildwood, we just had to switch to a new trash vendor because the other one wasn't getting the job done. The problem is, nope, this was a big controversy out there because nobody applied for the contract because it's getting so difficult to meet the demand that you have single stream recycling that a lot of companies don't want to do it anymore. And I think this company agreed to do it for the length of this contract, but they may not be doing it after that. And that's upsetting a lot of people. The trash companies were happy to do it when they could make money on both ends. If they've got to eat all of the burden of separating that recycling out, you're going to pay for it through the nose. And we've seen that in Wildwood. Our trash prices have almost doubled, I'm pretty sure, in that last contract, because the trash companies they're not eating that cost anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, ultimately, as capitalists, I guess you can't blame them. We're forcing them to do something that makes them consumers feel good, but at the other end of it, it's not workable.
Yeah. That woman that you heard from in the beginning of the story that we played, Jan Dell,
yes.
She believes plastic production is set to triple by 2050, that year, 2050. And with so much plastic waste, she says, piling up on land and sea, more than 170 countries are working on a United Nations treaty to end plastic pollution. I'm just picturing like Mount Crumpet with the Grinch. Like the shoot, you just boop, dump it in there and it just flies out. I mean, like, where is it all going to go?
Yeah.
I just think it's so interesting where companies can be so shiesty is the word that comes to mind. And it's just, they really lead us to, like, even with food and stuff, I go back to that. I know I have a lot of opinions about this. It's like, you can slap on the word, like, organic or cage-free, these words that make us feel like we're eating better quality food. And it doesn't mean that all products that say organic or cage-free, that that's a lie or whatever. But it's just, there are so many workarounds now with the FDA where they can figure out a way to put that on there. And it's just not what you think it is. It's not. It's a lie. And I wish there were more regulations on stuff like this. Like the fact that these plastic companies that are, of course, calling this report that says that recycling is a fraud, they're like, this is ridiculous. That's not true. La, 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 la. Because we need you to still buy our plastic products because it's cheap. That's why. It's going to cost them more if they were forced to use a different product, material.
Here's what they know. If they have to go away from single stream recycling, people won't do it. And they don't. They may still be recycling paper and cardboard, and they may recycle some plastics. But if it's up to the consumer to sort them before the trash company takes them, the number of people doing that will plummet. It'll just drop. Right now, it's convenient for me to go out in the light blue trash can, which is the recycling trash can, and toss in a plastic bottle. This morning, I put the empty orange juice container in there that I emptied before I came to work.
You drink orange juice every morning, don't you?
Often, yeah. Just for the vitamin C, whatever. Can't be bad for me, right? And I threw it in there. I felt good about myself. I put it in the recycling bin. I don't know that that's ever going to be recycled.
You go, Mark Cox. Look at you recycling.
That's my one thing.
That it's likely going to end up in a landfill. I don't know if he deserves a clap because while he feels good about that, I have a feeling it's going to end up in the landfill.
Put my beer bottles in there, my bourbon bottles in there. I'm doing the right thing.
You're a good person, Mark Cox.
That's my one thing. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for that affirmation. I needed that.
I guess I'll keep recycling, but let me just tell you, though, if you think you're just saving the planet by doing it, I'm really sorry to break it to you this morning. You're not.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of snowflakes will be crying in their cereal this morning upon hearing that.
Recycle that box, though, after you finish the cereal, please.
Yeah, please do. But please throw it in there. So it might not end up in the landfill. We'll see. All right. Coming up, we got a report from New York on day one of that Donald Trump trial up there. They still haven't seated a single juror. A bunch of them were ruled out on day one because they said they couldn't be unbiased in this case. I would argue none of them can be unbiased in this case. We'll get an update on that for you. And John Lamping at about 6:35 on the Bill Maher, made a stunning admission yesterday. And we're going to talk more about that on abortion and how much money they've raised on this statewide petition coming up at 6:37. Back in a minute.
Yeah, real quiet. Now, here's the thing, man. You don't know me. You don't know me. Hey, Joe, find this guy and let me see him after the show. Guys, I can stop this show right now and just go home. Tell you what I'm going to do. Since you've been so wonderful, I'm going to cut about 10 songs out of the show. Here we go. A little ditty by Jack Diane. The magic kids go in our land. You know what? Show's over.
John Cougar Mellencamp. I don't think he uses the cougar anymore for whatever reason, because he's not an aging woman. He got mad. And he threw a little temper tantrum, and he stormed off the stage. Now, my assumption was he was telling some political story because he's a hard lefty. But actually, he was trying to tell a story about his grandmother, and somebody in the audience yelled, "Just quit talking and play music," and he got angry about it. And then people started booing, and then he walked off the stage in the middle of the concert. I mean, I guess that's his right to do it if that's what he chooses to do. But we've been seeing a lot of this. Madonna acting like a prima donna. A lot of people just getting angry and taking their toys and going home.
I think it's immature, to be honest. I think come on. I mean, you are going to deal with that as a star, like John Mellencamp. Get over that, tune it out, and play your songs, because that is why people likely paid hundreds of dollars to come see you perform.
Yeah.
Not to have you do some political spiel.
Our friend Laura Ingraham wrote a book about that. Did you know that? And it was called Shut Up and Sing. Because she got so tired of the Dixie Chicks and these other performers like Kelly Clarkson, who you're going to hear from later, who stuck her head pretty far up the backside of Hillary Clinton in an interview yesterday. I'll play some of that for you. I don't want to hear that out of them, right? If I'm sitting around listening to their music, I prefer not to know what their opinion is on their left-wing progressive politics. Sad. Hey, coming up, we'll talk more about the President's Day in court yesterday and how that's going to go going forward.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.